In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, we go through our daily lives, and of course there's a lot of drudgery involved, there's a lot of difficulty, there's, you know, countless things that seem to come against us and bother us. But yet at the same time, we seem to have this innate compulsion to seek out certain things in the world that are appealing to us, do we not? We look for beauty anywhere we can because we see so much ugliness. Perhaps it's the ugliness that makes the beauty shine all the more. I don't know. But we find it in all sorts of different ways and different things. Beautiful people, beautiful clouds in the sky, beautiful trees, forests, certain things that we see sometimes that for no particular reason seem to grab us all of a sudden. And we stop and think, wow, you know, that is truly wonderful. That's touching me somehow and I don't understand, but it's a truly wonderful thing to see. And we have to realize that the very notion of beauty comes from the one who is beautiful, and that is Christ. We don't hear that word associated with Christ an awful lot, although we do hear how beautiful are the feet of those that proclaim the gospel, things like this. But in terms of beauty being the Lord, it seems to be a concept that just isn't tied together too often. But I think when we hear today's gospel, and we've entered now into the period I mention every year, we've made the Lucan jump. That's today. And we start reading the Gospel of Luke. No matter where we are in Matthew, we stop and we begin to read the Gospel of Luke, which takes us through the Nativity and Theophany seasons. And it starts at the very beginning with the Lord doing something to convince one of his disciples. Now, Peter, Andrew, and James were there at this particular moment when the Lord goes out and he asks Peter if basically he could use his boat. And so he does. He gets in the boat and he preaches for quite a while to those that are on shore. And then after that, he tells those fishermen, well, look, take your boats out. Take them out just for a while here. And they were probably exasperated and said, well, we've been out all day. Nothing has happened. You know, it's kind of a useless day. No, take them out anyway. And so they do. And what do they get? A huge abundance. The two boats that originally went out, one of the boats is just, it's about to sink. It's so full of fish that they caught by the will of the Lord. In fact, the people from the second boat had to come and help with the first boat because it was going to go under. Now, those boats back then were fairly large. If you've seen any pictures of boats from that time period, that's a lot of fish to make it go under. And Peter's response to all of this isn't, well, thanks, you know, great catch, wasn't it? You know, nothing like that. Peter says, no, away from me. Lord, I am a sinful man. And so suddenly, the accomplishment of that which Peter could not do earlier by the will of the Lord, by filling up this boat with fish, just doesn't give him an astonishment, although that must have been there. He's not just bowled over by what had happened, but he's convicted in here. He's somehow realizing the life he's led, the sinful problems that he has had, which are afflicting him so terribly. But there's something else about all of this. Because in the fisherman's life at that time, there wasn't a lot of beauty, was there? There was a lot of stink, undoubtedly, because of the fishing, because of the sea. There was a lot of toil, a lot of hard labor, a lot of long hours, and a lot of wondering if that day's catch was going to enable you to eat that evening. That's all that life was. And on top of it, all the things in the few moments of spare time they probably did, going out and getting drunk, who knows what else, fishermen may have done, as probably fishermen still actually do. But what Peter discovered and what convicted him was the fact that in the midst of this degradation, in the midst of this difficult life, beauty entered into it. And not just beauty, but the most beautiful thing in all of creation. And that was Jesus Christ. The essence of beauty, the very definition of beauty, the font of all beauty. That's what Peter was witnessing. And that's why he was so disturbed. That's why he realized how far away from anything like that he had ever been. He knew he was a sinful man. He knew that his life was drudgery after drudgery after drudgery. And yet this man comes along, and suddenly, by gliding into his boat and going out to sea in an effortless manner, everything is accomplished for Peter in terms of what he struggled with day in, day out. That light of beauty is still with us today. We see it all the time. We certainly see it in the church. That's why our churches are not dour and whitewashed and no crosses in them or no nothing and just looking like any other auditorium. That's why the things that we do are meant to reflect, even though in a very imperfect way, the beauty of the One. The beauty of God. The beauty of Jesus Christ. The beauty of the activity of the Holy Spirit amongst all of us. That's why we worship with our senses. That's why we smell the wonderful incense. That's why we try and awaken our physicality in ourselves by making prostrations and bows and venerating icons and tasting the glories of the Holy Communion of the Lord. Hearing the music that the church has given us. All of these things are a reflection of the beauty of the One. The beauty that Peter perceived. Because this is what the worship of God is all about. It is to reflect Him. And you don't reflect Him by going out and having a service in a parking lot. That doesn't do that. Not at all. He is up here looking down on us. I bet few of us ever actually look up at this icon of the Pantocrator. But He's always looking down upon us. Always offering us a new way, a beauty, a grace, life itself. If we look in the book of Revelation and we read chapter 21, and then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then you read some of the descriptions of the heavenly city that St. John saw. And he doesn't say, well, I saw some rocky and thorny paths and there was no grass anywhere and what was there was brown and disgusting. No, it was beautiful. So much so that the streets were gold, that there were emeralds and all kinds of precious jewels making up the buildings there. The beauty of God is everywhere, and we are called to this beauty. Today we have a baptism, and that's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Because right now Jessica's sitting beside the cleanest guy on earth. May not last by the time the day's up, but at least for this moment, it's all looking pretty good because he has been renewed. Everything in his past has been wiped away. But more importantly, everything in his future has been given to him because it's there now. It's for development. It's for taking it and molding it into something graceful, something grace-filled that God can use for all things. Now, it's His time to bring the beauty of God and His church to all those that are around Him, to everyone. And that remains the calling for all of us as well, that we are to accept these things with an incredible humility, not caring about our persons anymore at all, but caring only about the One who is beautiful, about Jesus Christ, and projecting that into all the world, because that's our calling. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what growing in Christ is about. And if we turn from that in any way, fortunately we have repentance. But if we turn from it, it's like choosing the ugly over the beautiful. Now, who would want to do that? If someone puts a wonderfully cooked roast right in front of you, and right beside it takes some pebbles and stirs it up in some mud and some bilge water from some sink in some office somewhere and says, "Hey, they're both for you. Have a bite." What are you going to choose? I hope you're going to choose the roast. But when we turn away from this thing that has been given us and do all these other things, it's like choosing the mud. That's what sin does. That's what turning away from God does. And it's incumbent upon all of us to think more of our spiritual lives in that manner. When we get ready to scream at someone or get ready to curse that person who pulled in front of us into the absolute farthest depths of hell. That's what we need to think about. When we do that, we're choosing the mud. We don't want to choose the mud when such grace and beauty is given to us. There is a thing by Dr. Alexander Kolomoros, who wrote a wonderful book called Nostalgia for Paradise, because that's what we're all being called back into. And he talks about it like this. He says, "The heart that grasps the mysteries is one that is naive enough to think that all souls are worthy of paradise, even souls who may have drenched their heart's life with bitterness. It's a heart that feels and sings like a bird, without caring if there is no one there to hear it. It rejoices over everything that is beautiful, everything that is true, because truth and beauty are two aspects of the same thing and can never be separated. It has compassion for every living thing that is animate or has roots, and even for every seemingless, lifeless stone." That is the beauty that God gives all of us to reflect on others and the world around us, to see the good in everything that He has created, and to reclaim it back for ourselves. Because if we do that, if we take that into our souls, others are going to catch on. They are. They really are. Sometimes we think that's hard to believe, but they do. There are absolutes in life. There is truth in life. There is beauty in life. Unfortunately, there's falsehood and ugliness as well. But we're called upon to bring that beauty, first of all, into our own lives, and then spreading it to everyone. So we should look at the boat of fish that Peter saw, and we should feel convicted, and we should understand that we're far away from it so much of the time, and reach out to it. And it starts by saying, "Lord, I am sinful." If you do that, you soften the hardened clay that surrounds your soul and lets Him start operating in it and turning it back into something that's useful for all of us. Amen.